show is a part of the Quite the Thing Media Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody.
This is Kim.
And this is Kel. And you're listening to Shiny Things.
We're back.
And yes, we are back. And Pickles is being very obnoxious, so he might have some opinions as we record in this new year.
Did he get overly stimulated with the holidays?
Yeah, now he's just being a cat and wanting to go outside and but not go outside, but look outside, but I have to stand there with him.
That's because every 10 minutes he's probably thinking maybe the weather's better.
Well, it was like sleeting here before. They both wanted to be outside, so I let them out. And
we've gotten no weather here, but at Terry's house, like 5 miles away, she said it was snowing sideways.
Right? I want snow. I'm ready for snow. It's way past due. Like, usually we have it in November.
Waiting for snow.
Right. It's a new year. We need snow.
Let's make it all nice and virginal out there.
Right. We need a nice, clean slate. Mm-hmm. To see what shit show this year's going to be.
Oh, gosh. I don't want that.
It's not normal.
Everybody wants normal.
Well, I just don't want the drama. Like, come on, COVID. Knock it off.
COVID, stupid.
It is. And you know that my new job and my last job were both very COVID-centric. So for today's story, I went totally different.
Nice.
I decided I'm going to tell you the story about the original serial killer.
The very first one that was ever noted?
I would consider the very first serial killer of all time because it's been around since the 1300s.
Is it a serial killer or is it a germ?
It's a germ.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, but I consider it a serial killer, and it's my favorite germ, my favorite bacteria, my favorite virus. I'll do an episode on that because that could be a scary story.
I don't know a lot of people that have them, but favorite germs, favorite flower, favorite color, favorite season. Kelly's is a favorite germ.
I named one of my betas that I had. After this.
Oh, hold on. Oh. I can't remember.
You'll remember as soon as I say it.
Syphilis?
Nope. Remember Lance? Mm-mm. Lance and Ebb?
No.
Well, I will tell you the story of how Lance got his name. Okay. So in the 14th century, 1/3 of Europe's population was decimated by this serial killer. It claimed approximately 25 million people's lives. And that's just going on old records. And we know how old records can be. So it could have been way more.
They didn't have what we have now. So it was almost like a guesstimation.
Exactly. But this wouldn't be the only time that the killer took the world by storm. And it's still around today, actually. So this killer has been affecting humans and animals for thousands and thousands of years. It's held steady in today's world. And there are even places that see annual epidemics of this. And another worrying thing is it could be weaponized by terrorists. So this thing has it all. So I won't bore you with all the waves and all of the little outbreaks and the big outbreaks and stuff like that, because that's a lot of history and our brains hurt from all the info spewed to us every day. But this killer led to civil unrest, racism, violence. I mean, you name it. So I don't know. I think it puts COVID in its place, but that's just me. But today we know that this killer has been called the Black Death, pestilence, and even plague. So plague is actually caused by a bacteria that's called Yersinia pestis. It is the most interesting bacteria. Depending on how the bacteria is spread to its victims, it can actually cause three different diseases. And like I said, it does have the capability of being weaponized and is on the CDC's Category A agents, which are certain bioterror things that we watch for and prepare for more because they're more likely to be used. So Plague's my jam. He's really cute. He's a little black. Kind of looks like a little lion. He's very adorable. I know you don't feel the same way.
Me?
Yeah.
I like beta fish. It's a beta fish, correct? That you named him after?
Yeah, my beta fish, Lance, his full name was Pestilence.
I like the fish. I don't like the germ.
Lance was really cute.
Lance is no longer with us?
No. Mm. Nope. Lance and Ebola died.
Oh, dear. Okay.
They kicked around for a long time, though.
R.I.P.
So, to date, it's estimated that plague has killed about 200 million people since its creation. It still exists today in North America, South America, China, Africa, and it is particularly heavy in Madagascar during monsoon season. So the epidemiologists of way back when, throughout the outbreaks and the endemics and even the pandemics caused by this bug, the story of who, what, where, when, how, all evolved. During the first outbreaks, like the super, super early ones, they actually determined that rodents with tumors were what's spreading the bacteria. While in others, they believe people would, like different towns or countries, would blame it on different religious sects. And then other religious sects would blame it on them, which lead to tons
of unrest, basically.
So tons of unrest and actual like fighting, and this wasn't something that would help contain the issue or have a solution to the problem at hand. But one of the theories that was closest to what actually happened was the miasma theory. Or poisoned air. It was thought that the poisoned air would settle into people's respiratory tracts. And back then, they actually had the public bathhouses.
Where they all took a bath in one great big tub.
And I don't think that
was really dirty.
Yeah, and I don't know that they had chlorine and stuff back then.
I don't think they did. That's gross. That's a hard no. I pass. I'll stay dirty.
Right? I'll create some dry shampoo. Thank you. So not even was it just your respiratory tracts. If you were sitting in one of those baths, they believed that your pores would absorb the droplets as well, and that could make you sick. So this led to the plague doctors that many of us know. I call them the plague police. They were actually sent to help remove like dead bodies, contaminated clothes. And at one point they were killing cats because the cats were being blamed as the transmission vectors. But to this day, rats still have the worst name for spreading plague. When actually, fun fact, there was an outbreak in the U.S., and it was caused by prairie dogs that were being sold by pet shops.
What year was that?
I'll have to get the exact year, but I think it was like 5 or 6 people got plague from their pet prairie dogs.
Well, if there was pet shops, then it had to have been like within the last 100 years or so.
Oh, yeah. It was, I want to probably in the 90s or early 2000s. Oh, wow. Yeah. So it, and again, but it wasn't caught, like the prairie dogs didn't cause it. It was the fleas. All right.
Oh, I get you.
So, and they were being sold out in the Southwest, which
they're like, so cute too.
They are so cute, like in New Mexico and Colorado and stuff. So that is typically where we see plague in common days.
Okay.
But the plague doctor's suits were actually really kind of interesting for their time. So most people know it. They look like the big scary bird beak people. This was actually like the first hazmat suit, if you want to think of it that way. They would wear a long black robe with a black hat, and the masks that came to the beak, they would fill them with this like aromatic substances. I think it was like eucalyptus. And
I've seen that, Kelly. I never knew what that was all about.
Yeah. So they would put the, that in the end of the mask, they would put all of the stuff to help block the smell of the bodies. So it was, yeah, it's kind of like our modern day PPE. Oh, and they wore a wax gown on top of it, too. So. But eventually it was determined that it was a bacteria that was causing it in the fleas. So that's how humans can be.
That's not good.
Nope. And the fleas basically, I mean, like I said, they out in the Midwest or Southwest, I'm sorry, out in like New Mexico and Colorado and things like that. In Arizona, they'll have cases sporadically pop up here and there because they still have the bacteria out there in fleas. We've not been able to totally eliminate it. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So this serial killer found its victims way differently than your Ted Bundys or Albert Fishes or any of those folks. So people would often be infected from the flea bites, but you can also be infected from an animal bite from an infected animal. So there was a recent case where there was a guy that had gotten septicemia plague from a cat bite or just inhaling the droplets.
Now, is that like in the same family as regular sepsis?
Yep. So this one is septicemia plague is what they call it because it causes a septic infection, basically.
Okay.
So you don't want this kind of sepsis, though.
No, I had the other kind, and I didn't want that either.
No, you had a bad kind of sepsis, too.
I did. Poor me.
You, I know, but look at you.
You're still standing. Fine now.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to take a moment to gush about Anchor and how easy it is to make a podcast. First off, it's free. If it's free, it's for me, and who doesn't like free stuff? They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. So you can do it on the run, or if you're bored at lunch, you can fidget with your editing. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast streaming networks. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. So, you know, because of the fleas mostly, that's why it flourished in Europe before we started traveling in boats and shipping boats and things like that. Once people started to travel and we started moving things from one place to another on these huge ships, there would be tons of rodents that would hitch rides. And unfortunately, we didn't have any front line or any of the flea and tick stuff we have today. So the fleas would hitch a ride also, and they would just share the wealth. So, I mean, there were boats coming in to ports that, I mean, people were just dying left and right because they had been infected, because it took a lot longer back then to travel. So, yeah, it wasn't good. So, and I think one of the scariest parts of the outbreaks and the pandemics that this caused, just like the ones we're seeing today, like COVID, is that no one was safe, from like royalty to the serfs that were out growing the veggies to anybody middle class. I mean, even just normal people, everybody was susceptible. I mean, just walking down the street at one point when it got really bad, they were having to store bodies out in the streets and things like that, which also caused more fleas and all of that kind of stuff. So they really weren't helping. And a lot of times now they will unearth these big burial grounds where they had to, you know, there's hundreds of people buried because of the magnitude of the outbreak from plague. And they can tell that it's plague because it would deform leg bones and things like that differently. So it's really, really interesting. At least for me.
Oh, yeah, you got a little... You have a history of that kind of stuff. I mean, you went to school for it. That's, you know, you liked it. It's probably why you're so good at your job.
Maybe, but I love plague. So remember how I told you could get three different kinds of infections? Mm-hmm. So there's the bubonic. That's the one you typically hear of, like the bubonic plague. And it would cause bubose.
The heck of that.
So that would be a swelling in your lymph nodes, like a huge, sore, painful swelling, typically in like your armpit, your neck, and the groin regions. Mm-hmm. And it would also come with a fever, headaches, and just like painful and achy joints. And most people were nauseous at first. But once those bubose grew, people would shoot up with an acute fever and just start vomiting blood.
Oh.
And without treatment, which back then we didn't have antibiotics, it was about 2 to 7 days after the infection started that people would start dying. But with antibiotics and catching it early enough today, it can be cured.
Wow.
And this one, so this one's my fear, the pneumonic plague. So this one is spread much like any of our respiratory viruses, like flu and COVID and things like that. It's when you get little droplets in your respiratory tract, then it starts to affect the lungs. Symptoms start out as like a fever and a cough, and then you start, you know, collecting all that crap in your chest, and you start coughing up some blood-tinged sputum. As the illness progresses, though, the sputum becomes way more. So you're like drowning in your own fluids, and it's bright red blood at that point. And once you get to that point, you are Typhoid Mary. You are spreading that stuff everywhere. Every time you cough, you're sharing the wealth. And the mortality rate for this, even today with antibiotics, is an estimated 90 to 95%.
Now, does that one come from the same thing, the fleas?
Yep. So it's all of the same bacteria. That's what's so interesting about it, is that it can cause, well, even so, like the bacteria that you have, that's what cause it had for your sepsis, was that causes like strep throat, but it can also cause necrotizing fasciitis. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, that's what's so fascinating about all these things. But
it's so scary about all these things.
It is really scary. Especially so, the pneumonic plague scares me the most, because this is the one that we would typically be fearful of somebody making as a weapon. Because the mortality rate's so high, you can spread it easily. Even with antibiotics, like I said, the mortality rate is still up there. And then there's the septic version, which this one is very fatal. And I do believe that, I could be wrong, but I believe that all of these can turn into the bubonic and the pneumonic can turn into sepsis if you have the infection long enough. Just like if you don't treat strep throat, eventually you'll go septic with it. Yep. So this is the most fatal version. The mortality rate is pretty much 100. Even in today's, there's been a few cases of people that have lived, but typically they end up leaving the hospital without limbs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because the it starts to attack your blood vessels and it starts killing off blood supply to them. So you end up with like gangrenous hands and feet and limbs.
That is scary.
And the scariest thing is that the first symptoms are just a really high fever and purple patches on your skin. Ooh. And the purple
patches. For that.
Right? And then you're like, where the hell did I get this? But if you're like me, you know, I'm like, I have a high fever. I'm like, I have plague.
That sounds like someone else I know.
It must be Ebola. Like, I have night sweats. I have tuberculosis. Oh my gosh. But this one, the septic one is really scary too, in that it moves so rapidly that most of the time it doesn't even allow people to form the bubos or anything like that. That would be your telltale sign that, you know, that's what it is. But luckily the bacteria grows pretty quickly in labs. Unfortunately, this isn't the differential on a lot of doctors' diagnoses. So we end up having to go back and giving people some antibiotics as a one-off just in case they were exposed. So we do live in a great time.
We do. And then on the other hand, we don't.
Yeah.
Because this whole COVID thing, it's out of control.
It really is. That's why I like the plague, because we're able to contain it.
Yeah, because they didn't have they didn't have the air travel and the cruise ships and all that stuff. So it was more condensed. But nowadays, it's everywhere.
Yeah, and bacterias are a little easier to kind of contain because they don't mutate as quick as viruses.
Mm-hmm.
And the viruses, I mean, look at how fast we're in the O's of the Greek alphabet. You know, we went from Delta down to O. So it's like, it can change so quickly.
Now explain that to me.
So every time somebody, I say I have COVID, I'm not vaccinated, I go and I spread it to Az. Az has it, she spreads it to a kid on the bus. Through her catching it and spreading it to the girl on the bus now has some kind of mutation in the genes of the virus.
Oh.
So now she goes and sneezes on somebody and, you know, and the mutations aren't always a bad thing because sometimes they make them less severe because the virus's goal is to infect as many people as possible. And you can't do that if all of your victims are dead.
So COVID was the big, big one. And then Delta and now Omicron.
Yes. So Omicron, while it's a pain in the ass and it's spreading like wildfire, it's really hard to tell how severe it is because, you know, yes, our hospitalizations are going up. And we have seen an increase in deaths daily in the hospital systems and things like that. But, you know, that can be also attributed to like, do these people also have flu? What else is going on? But I mean, that's what scares me about any mutation, though, because yes, it might seem like it's less severe in the beginning, but what if, you know, it's less severe, but it causes more long-term issues that end up with people being hospitalized further on into the illness. And it's all a crapshoot. That's what sucks the most, is that, you know, we don't know what the next one's going to be.
No. Scary.
So that's why I like bacteria the most, because like with this guy, the, you know, they didn't have like the knowledge about quarantining people, and they didn't have the antibiotics that we do. So actually one of the ways that they tried to contain this was that there is a small Italian island, Puglia, which I want to do a whole other episode on because it's like super haunted and everything like that. They used this island to quarantine those who were showing symptoms. And they used this island from 1793 to 1814.
Wow.
And I believe it was up until 1922. There was actually a mental institute.
Kelly, I think I saw a documentary on that.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And then there was another one I thought was kind of interesting about the leprosy.
Yes, this island was also used for that.
That's really interesting.
So that's why I'm like, the poor island, but that's why I was like, I would do an episode on that because it's so fascinating and it's got so much history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possibly haunted. So I
know you like the haunted stuff.
So they had that back then, and you know, unfortunately, I mean, it's kind of like in the hospitals, you got to put people in their own room and things to that effect. Whereas, you know, with this back then, we just shipped them to the quarantine island, or if they got word that there was a ship coming in and everybody was sick, they would just send them right there. But today, you know, we have isolation, we have antibiotics that we can give to people who are infected, and then also give to like family members who may have been exposed to that person. So that's useful in at least decreasing or stopping the transmission. But today, like in the US, like I said, there's a few cases here and there, but in Madagascar, every monsoon season, like the plague is just endemic. And a lot of that is because the fleas just go crazy because it's nice and wet, and they'll latch on to whatever they can to feed. So in that case, it's really hard to stop the outbreaks, and it typically goes away once the weather becomes drier. But then there's other countries like China. This was probably forever ago now, though, but they had one case in this tiny little town of like 15 people, and they like blocked off that town. Like no one's going in, no one was coming out.
I think that's not such a bad idea.
No, and the reason they can do it versus the U.S. and like all these other countries that can do lockdowns even for COVID is that, you know, with the different government, you know, so people complain about their rights and things like that. It's like you could live in China where we're just going to close you in and you have no say.
Yeah, I don't think people really realize how good they have it, but...
No, we have it pretty good. Although in China, that's it. It was, I think, that maybe two people, the guy and his farmhand, were the only ones that got it. And the farmhand, they were able to get antibiotics, so he lived.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it's still around today, which is also fascinating because, you know, they've tried to make vaccines and things like that. I think the vaccines still exist, and military, I think, and some lab folks are really the only ones that get vaccinated for it. Just like anthrax. But it's so fascinating, and I just figured it was fun to talk about that versus COVID.
Well, you know what? Your idea of fun is a little different than mine, but I know you enjoy your germs.
I do enjoy my germs.
If you're interested, I'm going to show interest as well and learn.
Good. Well, we'll have to, maybe we can work on that island together then, because
that would be fun.
It was really interesting.
I'd love to do that. So we'll do that on an upcoming episode.
Right. And then we're, I think next week, we're either going to do a missing persons or I have a really cool case I saw in Investigation Discovery I want to do.
I'm going to be honest. I have a lot of different ideas and I don't know which one I want to work on. But it always seems like I have to go through my whole list and then look on the internet and see what grabs me.
Yeah, because we also, within our downtime, not that it was downtime, it was like sickness and super stress and all that kind of stuff. But in that time, I know I made a list of things and I already have a gazillion lists laying around the house of things I want to do. So
so the missing persons that I wanted to do next, it's taking a little bit longer to get information, but quickly, it's a gentleman named Aaron Johnson. They call him AJ. And he went missing from Wisconsin last year. And he's still missing. So his wife had reached out to me and asked if I could help her. So that's what we're going to work on. I don't know when it's going to be up, but within the next month.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
Very sad when you... You know, this is the ones I like, the missing right. persons. And it's very sad when you do them because you think about them so much. And then I start having dreams about them. So, I mean, I had a case last year. I don't know if you remember. Jennifer Ross talked about her aunt.
Yep, I do remember.
Melissa Griggs. And she was found murdered. But there's so much more to that story. So we're planning on a part two just for an update on the whole thing with Jennifer in February.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I thought so. All right. Anyway, well, thanks for that germy little podcast, Kelly.
I tried to make it not a super bummer.
No. And we also have to do another creep off.
We do. That's what I'll start thinking about. Maybe we could do that for our first episode in February.
I wish people would give us an idea. Like, you know, it would be a really good idea if we had people pick the creep off, one for you and one for me.
Ooh, that would make it interesting.
Send us a message. Through Facebook, pick us our serial killers.
And make them good.
Yeah. The worse, the better. I'd like to win this time.
Yeah, you guys can give me a hard one. That's fine.
It wasn't even, it was no contest, the last one. Your Albert Fish was horrible.
He was pretty gross.
So, anywho.
All right, guys. Well, until next time, bye.